Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Kama, Daf Lamed Vav, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph at the end of the second line. The Mishnah taught us in the third case of the Mishnah, Hayushneim Shalish Echad, if both shirim belong to one person and they do damage to the Nizik Shar, the halacha is Shneim Chayovim. Both of them are responsible for the damage that they've done. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara, the Mishnah is teaching us that if one of these two oxen did damage, and we can't identify which is the ox that did the damage, the Nizik can collect his payment from either ox. Amalei Rava Perzikler Ravashi, Rava Perzikler said to Ravashi, Shmamina, from our Mishnah it seems to teach us, Shvarim Tam Shiziku, if Shoyrim that are Tam did damage, Rots Mizegoiva, Rots Mizegoiva. Since in a case where two oxen are in question which ox did damage, and now one of them is lost, and we're left with an axe. Now, even though, this is how the Gemara is learning now, even though we don't know that this remaining axe is actually the axe that did the damage, teaches us the Mishnah that still the halacha is that we collect the damages from the other axe. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Tosfos has an entirely different approach to the Gemara, because Tosfos says actually what the Gemara should have done is ask the question. Then our Mishnah in the Reisha, in the third case of the Mishnah, says when two oxen did damage, and we don't know which ox did damage, the halacha is Shneim Chayovim, you could collect from either ox. Yet in the end of the Mishnah is teaching us when we don't know which ox did the damage, the Mishnah teaches us Hamotzim Chaveira Olav Araya. Isn't there a stira between the Reish and the Sefer? That's what the Gemara should have asked, says Tosfos. Says Tosfos, what the Gemara here means to say is that there's a fundamental difference between the Reish and the Sefer. And actually, according to Tosfos' understanding, the Gemara is not to be understood as a kasha, but rather to be saying a statement. That in the Reish, we're referring to a situation where both oxen together cause the damage. And since both oxen together caused a damage, if one ox is not available, then we collect the damages from the ox that is available. Whereas in the safe of the Mishnah, according to Tosfos' understanding, we're referring to a situation where only one ox did damage, but we don't know which is that one ox that did the damage. And therefore, the halach is Rotz Mizeh Goyva. What he called Hamotzim Chaveiroi Olav Haraya. But again, we're going to be learning the Gemara the way Rashi's learning the Gemara, which the Gemara actually here now is posing a question. That if we're referring to a situation that we don't know which ox did the damage, and now one of those oxen is no longer here, the halacha is, you could collect from the other ox, which is a very difficult thing to understand. If maybe the axe that's missing is actually the axe that did the damage. So answers of Ashi, Hochem my skin of a mu'adim. Amish is referring to a case that the axen that did the damage are mu'adim. And as we've learned so many times, a mu'ad mishalim and aliyah, it's not that the payment is collected like by a tam from the guf, from the actual axe that did damage, but rather the payment is collected from the assets of the mazik, and that what the Mishnah is saying is, it doesn't make a difference if the ox is here or not. We're going to collect the damages from the assets of the mazik. Ask the Gemara if that's the way we understand the Mishnah. Im miadin, aim is safe. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah spoke about a case where one of the ox that did damage was large and one was small. Hanizik oimer godel hizik. The nizik says it was the larger axe that did the damage. Famazik oimer loyki el cotton hizik. It was the smaller axe that did the damage. The halacha is hamotz mechaveira all of haraya, and the nizik, if he wants to be able to collect from the godel, has to prove his position, bring evidence to corroborate his position. Ask the Gemara, if we're going to be explaining that our Mishnah is referring to Ma'adin, even Ma'adin might nafkalamine. What's the difference? Which axe did the damage? As we just said, if it's a Mu'ud that does the damage, you have to pay from the Aliyah, from the assets of the owner. Soif Soif, the Mei Torah Ma'aliyah, Boy Lishlume. He should have to pay for the damage that his axe, the Mu'ud, did. Amalei. So he said, Seifa b'tamim. The Seif is referring where it's a tam, and therefore makes a difference which is the axe that did the damage, because you only pay chatzi nezek, and that chatzi nezek is paid megufoy from the actual axe itself. Reisha b'mu'adim. The Reisha, however, as we explained, is referring to mu'adim, and therefore even if the axe that might have done the damage is no longer here, it doesn't make a difference. The assets of the mazik are subject to collection for this nezek. Amale Rav Acha Sabal Rav Ashi, if you're going to explain that the Mishnah is referring to in the Reisha to Mo'adin, then the words Chayovim, which seem to indicate that you're collecting from the axin, is inaccurate. Chayiv Gavra Meboile, the proper wording of the Mishnah should be to the person that the owner is responsible because his axe did damage. Vesua, furthermore, my shneim, what does that have to do with the two axen? The payment is not being extracted from the axen, the payment is being extracted from the owner. Says the Gemara, El Olam, we have to reinterpret the Reisha, that the Reisha is also referring to Tamim. But our Mishnah is following the opinion of Akiva, Dama Shutvininu. As we learned earlier, there's a machlokes of Akiva of Yishmael, a fundamental machlokes, how we view the relationship between the mazik and the nizik. Rabbi Kiva views their relationship as shutfin, that after the mazik animal does damage to the nizik's animal, the nizik becomes a partner in the mazik's animal. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva, dom shutfinunu, they become partners, the tamadis la tavayu. And therefore, since both oxen were involved, the Leimotza Matchele, and the Mazik cannot say to the Nizik anything, but if both oxen are not here, Motza Amale, that's the Mazik could say, Zil Aisirai, the High Tur Askach Vishamlach, bring proof that this axe is the one that damaged you, and I will pay you. In other words, what the Mishnah is teaching us is only if Shneim, if both oxen are here, and the Nizik is certainly a partner in one of them, that's, when the mazik will have to pay. But if only one of those axen are here, the mazik will not have to pay, because as the Gemara just said, he could say to the nezik, the axe that's here is not the axe that did damage to you. Rabbi Shmuel, who as we just explained holds, he becomes a bal choif. The money that the mazik owns to the nezik is like any other debt. So even if one of the oxen is lost, according to the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, that's the way Rashi learns, he would still have to pay. Because the moment the damage was done, the mazik becomes a bal choiv. The mazik owes that money to the nizik, and therefore makes no difference if the shor that did the damage is still here or not. Tosfos, however, disagrees with Rashi, and he says that even according to Rabbi Shmuel, when one of the axen becomes lost, the mazik will no longer be responsible. Because he says that the machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is only in how we pay for the damage. Where according to Rabbi Shmuel, the mazik could pay with any assets that he owns, because he's no more than a bal chayiv. Where according to Rabbi Kiva, since the nizik becomes a partner in the axe, the Nizik has a right to demand payment from the axe himself. But, says Tosfos, Rabbi Shmuel would agree that only when both of the axen are here is there going to be liability. But if one of the oxen is lost, it's possible that the ox that's lost is the one that did the damage, and therefore he loses the nizik, even according to Rev Yishmael, loses the right to collect the damages, because that's what is the pshat amigufay. And as the Mefarshim explained, the machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos is actually how do we understand the obligation to pay megufoy. Rashi seems to understand that megufoy is just a way of evaluating how much damage is paid according to Rabbi Shmuel, but not that megufoy in any way represents the former payment. Whereas according to Tosfos, even according to Rabbi Shmuel, megufoy has a lot deeper of a meaning. It means that that's where he collects from. And therefore, if we don't have that actual animal here, the halacha would be that you can't collect, that even Rabbi Shmuel would agree that you can't collect. Hadron loch hamaniach, hadron loch hamaniach, hadron loch hamaniach. Says the Mishnah. Shor shenogach abav chamishin shvarm zechazeh. If one axe killed four or five animals, and as we will learn, we're referring to a shor, that's a shor tam, which of course leads the Rishonim to ask the obvious question: how can we have a situation that an animal killed four or five oxen, and it still can be considered, and it should still be considered a shor tam? So the Rishonim give a number of answers. One answer, Rashi's answer, is that it's referring to a situation where one shor did damage, where the shor did damage to a shor, killed a shor, then it saw a number of shorim afterwards without doing damage, and then this happens again, and then again it didn't do damage, and since there weren't three consecutive times that it did damage, it's not going to be considered a situation of being a mu'ud. Others explain, going back to some of the Gemaras that we learned in the previous parak, that we had a machloikas tanon, how we view how an animal becomes a mu'ud. And one mandama said that it only could become a mu'ud if it did damage over 3 days, but if it did this in 1 day, it would not be considered a mu'ud. And that's exactly what happened here. It did it all in 1 day. It did all of these killings in 1 day. Another pshat is also something that we discussed in the previous parak, where we had a machloikis. What is the purpose of an animal becoming a mu'ud? Is it liyudi tura or liyudi gavra? And we said, if the purpose is liyudi tura, then even the animal killed a number of times, and then the witnesses come, it becomes a mu'ud. But the other opinion held liyudi gavra. It speaks to the owner of the animal. And therefore, what happened, therefore, after each act of killing, you would have to have the animal, Adam come and warn the owner. And that's what happened here, that the animal, that the owner was not warned in between the killings that this shor committed. And since he wasn't warned in between the killings that the shor committed, the shor will not become a mu'ud. The Rishonim also go on to point out that why does the Mishnah use the words arba v'chamish pamim? So some Rishonim say that this is a terminology we many times find in the Mishnayos, that they use the words arba v'chamish pamim. Other, the Maram has a very interesting explanation. He bases on what we just explained, how an animal could be a tam even if it did damage so many times. He says, if the Mishnah were to tell us that it killed four times, it would be obvious that the animal only becomes a mu'ud at the fourth time. Because we have learned an opinion earlier in the Masechta that says that the animal only is mechuyif to pay nezek shalem at the fourth time. So our Mishnah goes on to teach us that we could have a situation, as we just described, that the animal killed even five times and the animal is still a mu'ud. So again, the Mishnah says, Shor shenogach abav chamishim shvarm zechazeh, it killed four or five other animals. The loch is, yishalom l'achon shabahem. You pay first the last nizik. V'myesh b'meiser, if there's leftover funds, yachzish l'fonav. That's given to the previous nizik. And if there's still leftover funds, we give it to the previous nizik. Achron nisker, it's always the last nizik who gets compensated first. Divrei Rameya. That is the opinion of Rameya. Rav Shimon Omer, however, Shar Shavim Masayim, Shenagach L'Shar Shavim Masayim, if the animal that did damage was worth $200, and it killed an animal worth $200, then a novel yofaklum, and the animal, the novel is worthless. Zeh noitel mona, v'zeh noitel mona. So here we have a situation of the mazik and the nizik. The mazik takes 100, the nizik is entitled to chatzi nizik, as we've been explaining, we're talking about a tam. So the nizik is entitled to $100 of the animal that did the damage, $100 of the value, and the mazik's worth entitled to $100 of that. Now, chaz v'nagach shor achas shav masayim, now this axe went and killed another shor that's worth $200. Ha'achron, so the second nizik is noitel mona, is entitled to $100. That's the chatzi nezik that he gets. V'shulfanov, zen noitel chamishim zoz, v'zen noitel chamishim zoz. Because since now the nizik and the mazik, and we'll see this clearer in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, are partners, the first nizik and the original owner are partners in the shor. The shor is worth $200, so they have to give away $100 of that for the chatzi nezik that they owe to the second nizik, and they are left with a value of $100, which their partners in each gets $50 of that. Zen noitel chamishim v'zen noitel chamishim zos. Chaz v'nogach shorach hashamasayim. Now this animal killed a third shor, which was also worth $200. So again, the last nizik is entitled to chatzi nizik, which is a mona. V'shulfanov. So now we have to view, how do we look at the original owner, the first nizik, and the second nizik. So the Mishnah says the second nizik gets $50 in this animal because he owns half of the animal. V'shnei harishonim, and the first and the original owner and the first nizik each own a quarter of the animal, and that's why each one gets 10 zov, which is 25 zos, $25 value in the animal. Ask the Gemara, Masnisamani, and as the Rishonim explain, we have here a Stam Mishnah. A Stam Mishnah is the opinion of Rameya. Stam Mishnah Rameya. Rameya was a Talmud of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And therefore, the Gemara is asking which opinion in the Machloikas that we quoted earlier between Rabbi Kiva and Shmuel, which was, how do we view the relationship between the Mazik and the Nizik? Rabbi Shmuel says we view the relationship as a relationship of a Bal Choyv, and Rabbi Kiva says we view it as a relationship of a partnership. So ask the Gemara, Masnisamani, whose opinion does our Mishnah reflect? It seems that it doesn't reflect Loi Rabbi Shmuel, Loi Rabbi Kiva, not the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, nor the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, explains the Gemara. Ik Rabbi Shmuel, because if we're going to follow the Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, Dama Baal Chayvus Nenu, that we view the relationship between the Mazik and the Nizik as a creditor and a debtor, Hai Achron Nisker, why does the Mishnah say that the last one is the one to collect first? Rishon Rishon Nisker Mibaylei, the first one should collect. Because throughout Shas we know that if somebody has a series of creditors, a series of individuals who he owes money to, what is the order of succession in claiming those debts? The first debtor, the first person I owe money to has first claims on any money I own to pay him back. So here, if we have, asked the Gemara, according to Rabbi Shmuel, a series of people who are nizakim, and the mazik therefore owes them money, the halacha ought to be that the first one should collect first. Yet our Mishnah says that the last one. And the Rishonim point out, why is the Gemara focused on Achron? on the last words of the Tanna Kamma. The question is from everything the Tanna Kamma said. So Rishonim say that when the Gemara is focused on the words Achron, Achron, it's only because it doesn't really mean that the question is only from those words. The question is from Rameya's entire statement, which is contrary to this concept. Others say that the words Achron, Achron drive home the point that the last Nizik has first claims. Whereas, if we view the Nizikim, the people who were damaged, as Bali Chayiv, the Halacha ought to be, asked the Gemara, that the first Nizik should collect first. As the Rishonim, that we learned in the previous Perek, that if somebody owes a Nizik damages, and he owes a Bali Chayiv money, even if the act of damage came after the debt was due, if it was a tam, the halacha is that the nizik could claim that tam's value first. So isn't now? So what's the problem? Here we're not talking about bali chayiv, we're talking about nizikin, and therefore the halacha of people who are damaged after rishonim is different than the halacha of bali chayiv. Answer the rishonim that of course the Gemara in the previous perek is referring to a situation where we're comparing a nizik to a bal chayiv. And the Gemara taught us that the rights of a nizik to the shor, the damage to him, supersede the rights of any bal chayiv. But here we're talking about all the people who are claiming payment are equally nizikim. So if they're all equally nizikim, then they're all equal, the same type of bali chayiv. If they're all the same type of bali chayiv, ask the Gemara, why does the last nizik come first? If they're all the same level, we should go in the proper order. If, on the other hand, ask the Gemara, Ikra v'kiva, domitar de shutfehi, that we look at the relationship between the mazik and the nizik as relationship of partners, hayesh b'meiser, then the rule that the Mishnah says that if there's left over, yachsel shelofanov, the halacha is that it goes to the previous owner, that's incorrect. L'kulam b'olei, each person who was a nizik became a partial owner of the shor hamazik, and therefore it should be divided amongst all of them. But that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that it goes to the last nizik has greater claim than all the previous owners. Asks Tosfos, how could the Gemara suggest that the nizik is considered a partner with the mazik? The nizik's not a full-fledged partner. The nizik has the relationship between the nizik and the mazik, Rav Akiva holds, is the relationship of partners. But the nizik can't be held responsible to watch the shor. It's not in his possession. So some Rishonim actually explained the Gemara is referring to a case where there was already Hamada Bedin, and the Bezdin already paskin that the nizik is entitled to payment. And since the Bezdin already paskin that the nizik is entitled to payment, we now have a situation where the nizik is a partner is a full-fledged partner in this situation. That's how some Rishonim explain the Gemara. Other Rishonim answer Tosfos Kasha. The Rav Chaim Brisker has a very bechiddush. Rav Chaim Brisker says that from the moment where, just like partners, if I'm a partner in a shor, and I'm in America, and my partner is in Eretz Yisrael, and the shor is in Eretz Yisrael, the fact that I am not together with the shor doesn't absolve me from responsibility. Says Tosfos the same thing here. The fact that this shor is owned or going to be owned, says Rav Chaim Brisker, the fact that this shor is going to be owned by the nizik once the damages are claimed creates a situation that the nizik is fully responsible. Tosfos, however, has a different shot. Tosfos says that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where there were edim to this act of hezek, and since there were edim to this act of hezek, the nizik knows that for sure he's going to be entitled to claim to become a partner here. Since he knows that for sure going to happen, that's why we, according to Rabbi Akiva view him already at this point as a partner and sharing in the responsibility. Amar Rava, says the Gemara, Lailan Krabi Shmuel, Dama Balachaydus Menu. Really, our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel that they considered Balachayv. But then we ask the question, if our Mishnah is following the opinion of Yishmol, Achron Nisker, then they're considered like Bali Chayiv, so why is the last Nizik the one to claim Rishon Nisker Mabalei? When we go with Bali Chayiv, don't we go in the succession of where how the Chayiv was created? Says the Gemara, Hachav Ma'iskinen, our Mishnah is referring to a situation, Kigonshe Tavsa Nizik Ligvis Yimeno, where the Nizik seized the shore that did damage, because he was concerned that the owner, the mazik, would hide the shor. And once he sees the shor, nasa lof k'shoyim esachar nezakim, he becomes a shoyim esachar. Reason he's treated like a shoyim esachar, explained the Rishonim, is because now he's benefiting that the mazik cannot hide the shor from him. And the halach is that a shoyim esachar becomes responsible in the damages that the shor does while it's under his watch. So that's why Amishta says that he's responsible. Actually, the Rishonim point out that the same din would apply if he was treated like a shoy mechinim, because a shoy mechinim also is held responsible for the damages the shor, a shor does while under his watch. The reason that the Mishnah says that he's treated like a shoy mesachar is because that's actually what he is, given the reason that we explained, because he's benefiting from this situation. There's a debate amongst the Rishonim. What would be the halacha according to Rabbi Akiva if the Nizik actually seized the shor? Would Rabbi Akiva then agree with the interpretation of Rabbi Shmuel that the Nizik becomes the responsible party? The Shita says that indeed, even Rabbi Akiva would agree that if he actually seized the animal, he would become the responsible party. However, many Rishonim disagree with the Shita, and they say that since, according to Rabbi Akiva, he's considered a Shutif, and not only is he a Shutif, he's a special type of Shutif, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says. Because usually a Shutif means that you and I agreed to become partners. Here it's not that he agreed to become a partner. The Torah makes him into a partner the moment that he is the Nizik and the other one is the Mazik. So therefore, according to those Rishonim, he can now no longer be treated as a Shai Mesachar. He's treated as a partner with different dinim. Ask the Gemara. If we're explaining our Mishnah, we're explaining at least Remeir's opinion, our Mishnah, that it's following the opinion of Yishmael, but it's referring to a situation where the Nizik sees the animal, and therefore he becomes the responsible party, so we learned that if after the last Nizik collects whatever he's entitled to, we learned that according to Remeir, the Tanakama, the leftover is given to the previous Nizik, why should the previous Nizik get it? The owner should get it. The Nizik didn't act properly because the Nizik didn't watch the shor properly. If anything, the Mazik, the owner, the original owner, should get the difference. Amar Ravina, says Ravina, indeed, that would be the din. But what the Mishnah is referring to is Hachiktani. Im yesh by Moisa bin Nizakov, Yachsa Shofanov. And we're going to explain the Gemara in the simplest way possible, even though most Rishonim explain it in a more elaborate, complicated manner. There's a mazik that has a shor that's worth $200 that did damage, that killed the shor of the first nizik that's also worth $200. The nizik, therefore, is entitled to $100 for his chatzi nizik. And as the Mishnah is explaining, this nizik seized the shor because he was afraid that the original owner would hide the shor and he wouldn't have a way of collecting his damages, and therefore he becomes the responsible party for the shor. Now what happens is it goes and it kills a second shor, but the second shor it kills is not worth $200. it's only worth $100. Chatzi nezek is $50. So indeed, this last nizik gets his chatzi nezek payment, the $50. And now we have still left $150 value in this shor. And what the Mishnah is teaching us is that the first nizik could now take at least the $50 that he's entitled to from his chatzi nezek payment. Well, actually, he gets 75 because he's entitled to 70. He gets $50 that's left over, and then the other 100 is divided. That's pshat that is left over. The kenki also raven amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum pshia sham nagabo. The way to understand the opinion of Rameya is because the nizik sees the shor and he's a responsible party. Ask the gemara b'mayu kimta. So how we explain the opinion of Rameya? Rabbi Shmuel, we said that he follows the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Ask the Gemara, Yochi, say, Emaseifa, let's continue learning the Mishnah. And we're not going to repeat this again because we're not going to explain this again because we already explained it when we learned it in the Mishnah. Rav Shimon, Oimer, Shor Shav Masayim, Shnagach Shor Shav Masayim, Vein in the Mavail Yofa Klum, Zen Noitel Mona, Chazar Nagach Shor Acha Shav Masayim, Hachar Noitel Mona, Vishofan of Zen Noitel Chamishim Zos, Vizen Noitel Chamishim Zos. Chazav Nogach Shor Shav Masayim, Hachon Noitel Mona, Vishalfanav Noitel Chamishim Zos, Vishnayim Rishonim, each get 25 Dinazov, which is 25 Zos. Which follows the opinion, Aston Rekiva, Dormitory the Shutvihi, which says that they considered Shutvim, and therefore, since they're partners, they become equally responsible for any damages that happen after they become partners. Ask the Gemara, Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, the Sefer Bekiva. So we have a situation that the Reisha follows the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, and the Sefer follows the opinion of Bekiva. So the Mefarsh Master Pnei Yeshu asks, don't we have many Mishnayis throughout Shas, where we have a Machlokes Tanoim? What's bothering the Gemara by saying Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, the Sefer Bekiva? So the Pnei Yeshu answers, as we said earlier, Rameya was a Talmud. Remain of Shimon with Talmidim of Kiva Rishmol. If the entire point of their machloikis is just to repeat the machloikis of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmol, they should have said the machloikis of Rabbi Kiva Rishmol. The fact that they're expressing their opinions without expressing them as the machloikis of Rabbi Kiva and Rishmol would seem to indicate that this is not the machloikis of Rabbi Kiva and Rishmol. Amri, but the Gemara responds in the Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda Shirina Shvayk Masnisim V'Sab Asroi. There too there was a situation where he didn't know how to explain two clauses of a Mishnah should follow the opinion of one Tana, and he said, listen to what I have to say, Reish Rav Yishmol V'Sefer Rav Kiva. Most Rishonim take out the next words of the Gemara, as we have them in the Gemara there in parentheses. Itma nami amr Rabbi Yochanan higdishu nizik ikibanayu, which means as follows, that the machloikis of the Tanakam Rameya and Rabbi Shimon is the machloikis of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Do we view the relationship of the mazik and the nizik as a relationship of a bal choyf, or do we view it as a relationship of a shutif? And the nafkamina would be, does the nizik have a right to be magdish this animal? If he's only a bal chayiv, then he certainly doesn't have a right to be magdish it. It's not his animal. He only has a claim that the mazik owes him money. If, on the other hand, we view him as a shutif, as the Rekiva says, then he has a right to ask, and then if he's magdish it, the hegdish would be valid. Tanan hosam. We learned in a Mishnah, later in our Masechta, if somebody blows into the ear of his chaver, and there's a machloikus rishonim, what does hatekel chaveroi mean? Most rishonim say, as we just explained, that he blew into the ear of another person. Others say that it means that he hit him by the ear. Another interesting question is that many rishonim suggest that the chiyuv hatokei l'chaveroi is only if he was holding the ear as he did this. Other Rishonim say it doesn't make a difference. The halacha is, noisin le'sela, The Tanakhama says he has to pay a seller. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Meshum Rabbi Yosef Glili, that he has to pay a mana. A seller is equal to 4 dinar. A mana is equal to 100 dinar. What is this payment for? Again, most Rishonim explain, and that's the way we're going to learn the Gemara Mitzvashem, that it's a payment for Boishes. Other Rishonim, however, say that it's not only a payment for Boishes, it's also a payment for Tsar and Ripui, it's a payment for everything. Certainly the Rishonim point out that it's not referring to a situation where he caused the person to become deaf, Chas V'Shalom, because as we will learn later in Amasachta, Chashay, Noisly to make Kuloi. If somebody causes somebody else to become deaf, he has to pay the entire value of the victim. Here it's that he became totally deaf. In fact, there's a question if there was any loss of hearing in this situation. Most Rishonim explain that we actually have here Machloikis Tanoim between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, and between Rabbi Yosef Glili. What is the payment for the Boishes? Is it a seller or is it a mona? However, there are other Rishonim that want to suggest that there's actually no Machloikis, because they're talking about different individuals. If the victim was a Adam Choshev, then the payment is greater. If the victim is not such an Adam Chashev, the payment is only a seller. However, most Rishonim do explain that there is actually a machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yosef Glili, but there's still a debate, who is this victim? Is he an Adam Chashev, and that's the payment, but if he weren't an Adam Chashev, the payment would be less? Or are we talking about the minimal payment, but if the person was a Chashev person, the payment would actually be greater? Says the Gemara, who gave the talk to Chaveri? There was somebody who did this to somebody else. Shalcher Rav Tovi b'Masl Kamed Rav Yosi. So he sent him with the following question: how much has to be paid? And of course, Rashi asked the question: how could this question be relevant to Aloch Lemaisa? Haven't we learned so many times in Al Masechta that in Bavel they weren't able to collect knas? So what's the this is a situation of knas. Boishes is a knas because it's not a payment for something that was lost, and as we've learned, any payment that doesn't represent compensation for a loss is under the category of knas. So how could this question have come up in Bavel where they didn't have batei dinim smuchim? So a number of answers are given. One answer is that he was typhus, that the nizik, the victim, was typhus the money, and the halacha is that when he's typhus the money, when he seizes the money, even above all, he's allowed to keep it, and that's why the question came up. Another explanation is, as we learned earlier in the Masechta Daf Tezvav, that if such a situation comes up in Chutz Laretz, but the Nizik summons the Mazik to a Din Torah Netz Yisrael, so then the Mazik either has to pay or agree to go to the Din Torah. Other Rishonim that the Shita wants to quote that Rav Tovia did have Rishus to Paskin Dine Torah of Knas in Chutz Laretz. So the question that he asked him was, sell it Suri Tanan or sell a Medina Tanan? Throughout Shas we find two types of coins, a sell it Suri or a sell a Medina. The Selah Mitzuri is worth 8 times more than the Selah Medina. And there are two explanations why. One explanation is, as we know, in the times of Chazal, coins were according to the value of the silver in the coin. In other words, if we have a quarter nowadays, it doesn't represent 25 cents worth of metal. A quarter is 25 cents. In those days, a coin represented silver. So some Rishonim say that the Selah Tzuri was 8 times as large as the Selah Medina. So there was 8 times more silver in the Selah Tzuri than there was in the Selah Medina. Others, however, explain that in size, the Selah Tzuri and the Selah Medina were the same. But the Selah Tzuri had copper, it was 1 part silver and 7 parts copper. That was the Selah Medina, and the Selah Tzuri was pure silver. So the question is, what kind of Selah does he have to pay? Does he have to pay the more expensive Selah Tzuri or the Selah Medina? Amalei, so he tried to prove it from our Mishnah. To Nasua. We learned in our Mishnah, V'shnayim Rishonim, that we were referring to a case where the animal kept on doing damage. The Shnayim Rishonim, that it would come out that the first two, the owner and the first Nizik, each take a dinar of gold, which is equal to 25 Zuz. Yisal Kedatech, says Rabbi Yosef, if you're going to say Tana Tana Sala Medina, then when we speak about Sloim in the Mishnah, we're not limiting ourselves to Sala Tsuri. We're even referring to Sala Medina, so we could even go further down. Niflag Venesa place of a Sala, then the Sala Tsuri, there is no smaller coin. But if we're talking about Sala Medina, there is still a smaller coin. We should go to the point where the owner and the Nizik are going to get 12 and a half dinar, or 12 dinar and a 12 and a half dinar each. The fact that the Mishnah didn't go down that far is a proof that the Mishnah only speaks about Sela Tsuri and doesn't speak about Sela Medina. Amalei, so he says, that's not a proof. Tani Karuch Neles Neveezel, maybe the Mishnah does go down all the way. The Mishnah, we do pay and figure with Sela Medinas. So why didn't the Mishnah keep on speaking about cases where we could keep on having more cases that the Mazik, the owner of the animal, and the first Nizik will be down to 12 and a half dinrim? Because the Mishnah doesn't have to go all the way. We got the point. My Havalah, what is the Halacha? When we speak about Sela, is it Sela Tsuri or Sela Medina? Peshtumi Hadarim of Yehuda Marav, call Kesef Om B'Torah, whenever the Torah speaks about, the Torah obligates the money, it's Kesef Tsuri. When the obligation, however, is midrabanan, v'shodavreim kesef medina. Although I did see Rishonim that indicate that even though our Gemara is distinguishing between the rice and the rabanan, in the rice itself, sometimes the Torah is clear in saying shloshim shalavid, that you have to pay a certain amount of money. So when the Torah speaks about a specific amount of money, there we say that the Torah means kesef tsuri. But sometimes the Torah speaks about paying money, but the Torah doesn't speak about how much money has to be paid. And that, it could be that even though it's Midoraisa, some Rishonim say the day you would pay Kesef Medina. Other Rishonim, however, say that we should learn the Gemara as it seems that it says, that under all circumstances, you pay, when it's an obligation that you mechuy Midoraisa, you pay Kesef Tzuri. Amlehu Gavra. So what happened was, Horlo Pagadu Zuzahu, since my payment is a half a zuz, which is the equivalent of a seller medina, loibina, I don't want it. Neisulaniyim, it's a small amount of money, and he says, give it to the poor people. Hadamalei, then he said, neisuneli, you know what? I do want to keep it. Because ezel for everybody nafshoi, I want to use it to buy food. Amalei Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef said, it's too late. Kvar zochabei aniyim. The aniyim already became the aniyim. Vavgav delek aniyim hocha. Even though there were no poor people here, so how could we say that it became the poor peoples? Anan yad aniyim anan. I am like the gabe of aniyim, and therefore I, as Rashi explains, was kainet through mamet shloshtim, where the halacha is that if I owe somebody else money and there's another person there, which means, if a creditor says, in the presence of his debtor, and a third party, that he wishes to transfer the debt to the third party, the halacha is that it's considered a kinyan. So here, the poor are considered the third party, and Rabbi Yosef, who's considered a gabbait stalker, is considered like a mamet shloshton, and he was koinet. So the Rishonim ask a question. The Gemara says, in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Beficha Zetztaka, which teaches us that as soon as somebody makes upon himself an obligation to give tztaka, he has to give the tztaka. So ask the Rishonim, what do our Gemara have to say? That Rabbi Yosef was kainet because of Mamet Shloshton. He was kainet because I obligated to give tztaka, and once I promise to give something to tztaka, I have to fulfill my pledge. So Taisus gives two answers. One answer Taisus gives is that since this was a Dovish Shloi B'la'ilam, the Nizik, the had not yet collected the damages, there we don't say the halacha of b'fichat zut staka. Another shot is that really the person here was not attempting to retract from the pledge. All he wanted to do was to keep the money for himself, and he'll give staka another time. That is not a contradiction to b'fichat zut staka. Rather, he could keep the money for himself and he'll pay staka at another time. Only because Rabbi Yosef said there was a mamash shloshim that already become the poor persons, and he had no right to retract and say, I'll give the tzedakah later. Which the Rif asks a similar question. We know there's a halacha of amiras l'gvoya k'misiras l'hegit. So as soon as somebody says that he's going to give something to Hegdish, it's as if there's a kinyan. So why don't we apply it here? So again, there are two answers. One answer is that we only say amiras l'gvoya k'misiras l'hegit when I have the actual item that I'm giving to Hegdish. Here we didn't have the actual item that he's giving to Hegdish, and therefore we can't say amiras l'gvoya k'misiras l'hegit. Others say that we don't apply the concept of amiras l'gvoya k'misiras l'hegit. We only apply it by Hegdish, not by tzedakah. And therefore, here it was a question of tzedakah, not a Hegdish, and we don't apply that concept. Which actually is the basis of a machloikis of the Beis Yosef and the Ramah. That let's say somebody pledged an amount of money to tzedakah, and then he passes away. Do the Yarshim have to fulfill that pledge? The Beis Yosef and the Sha'al Sechuvas Afkas Reichel says that the Yisoyimim do have to fulfill the pledge. Whereas the Ramah says that he don't have to fulfill the pledge. What is the basis of their machlokes? What we just said. Do we apply the concept of amiras l'gvoya k'misiras l'hegit by every tzedakah situation? The Beis Yosef does, and therefore as soon as this person pledged this money to tzedakah, it's already Hegdish's, and therefore the Yarshim have to give it. Whereas the Ramah says, like we just learned, that we don't apply this concept only by Hegdish, not by tzedakah. And therefore, since it never became Hegdish's, it never really became theirs, the Yarshim don't have to fulfill that pledge. Dama Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, where do we find a similar concept? Yisoyimim ain't a tzrichim prosbol. We know that during Shemitah, the halacha is that a prosbol has to be written, otherwise all debts become cancelled. The halacha is Yisoyimim do not have to write a prosbol. There's a machlokes Rishonim regarding which debts are we referring to. Some say it's referring to the debts that the Yisoyimim, people owe their father money, and the halacha is that normally that debt would get cancelled, but the Yisoyimim don't need it, because as we're going to learn, the Beis Din works on behalf of the Yisoyimim. Another say that's even debts that they incurred their own. Others say, however, debts that the Yisoyimim incurred their own, that we don't say that they considered Yisoyimim. But the Mefarshim ask, even if we're obviously referring here to Yisoyimim who are Ketanim, so if Yisoyimim are Ketanim, they're anyway not Mechuyev B'mitzvahs. And if they're not Mechuyev B'mitzvahs, so then their debts don't get cancelled. So Rav Shmuel Rozovsky answers that maybe when they made the debt, they weren't yet Bar Mitzvah. But the time it comes to collect the debt, they are already Bar Mitzvah. And the halacha that debts get cancelled by Shemitah, we follow when the debt is due. We don't follow when the debt was incurred. However, other Mefarshim say that even if they're Yisoyimim and they're not B'nai Mitzvah, the halacha still is, the Mefarshim point out, that just like food is not kosher. If food is not kosher, it's not kosher for a katan or for a gadol. The katan may not violate an iser if he eats non-kosher food, but the food is not kosher. Similarly, all debts in the Shemitah year become cancelled. The fact that the person that the money is owed to is a katan doesn't change that reality that the debt gets automatically cancelled. So the Gemara says the Yisoyim don't need a prosbol because Beis Din automatically acts on their behalf. They came to Rav Bechama, the Yisoyim made a tzrichim prosbol. Rav Gamliel Beis Din Avim Shal Yisoyim Hayu. They are considered the Avim of Yisoyim. Actually, it's not only obviously Rav Gamliel's court. The Rishonim point out that happened to be the court in the time of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Chanan bisha takle hu gavra. Chanan hit a person in the ear. Also come major of huna. Amalei zal havle palg the zuza. You have to pay him a half a zuz for the boishes. Havle zuza malka. He had a worn out zuz. Boy le mesule mina palg the zuza. For which he wanted to give the victim a half a zuz. However, nobody wanted to break this zuz into half zuzim. So what he did was, he gave him another tekiah, and now he owed him for two tekiahs, so he owed him two half zuzim, a whole zuz, and he paid it to him. The Mefarshim say the reason the Gemara comes to teach us this is to teach us, number one, that he was a Chanan Bisha, that he acted inappropriately, that you don't, the way to resolve this issue is by not hitting a second time. And another point is that if somebody does an Aveira for which there is a Knas, we don't say that if he did the Aveira a number of times, he's only Mechuyev one Knas, as actually we find such a Gemara, that if somebody is a Nazir and he drinks a number of cups of wine, if there was no hasra in between, he's only mechuyev one einish. When it comes to knas, every act for which there is an obligation to pay knas brings its own knas, and therefore here he had to pay two half zuzim for the two acts of tkiah that he did.